Oh God, one more podcast? And oh God, one more season? You damn Skippy. Salutations, and welcome back everyone to Desi Standard Time Season 2. As you've probably already seen, this season we're going to be covering Pakistani media. All things from movies, music, television, and the history of what makes this industry so special and unique. We couldn't be happier to bring forth new content to your precious listening ears. Right now, you're listening to one of the Mazes, Maz Ali, and Maz Khan, unfortunately, has been furloughed. We became too big, and they had to let one of us go. So we settled it over an intense rapid-fire round with Karan Johar, followed by a game of Twister. I won both, and of course not. Just kidding. Come on. Stupid. No. We love him. He's currently in Dubai, and he's asleep, so please leave him alone. But our international superstar, hey, banda mera. But anyway, we've actually been expanding our team. Joining Anam Hussain on the production side is the incredible Zaid Hassan. We're stoked to have Zaid tackle some new projects as production assistant, and this super talented team has new things to bring you this time around. Now, typically, we start the season off with an episode with MK and I bantering back and forth over God knows what, and there will be plenty of time for that. But we wanted to kick the season off a little bit differently today with a conversation I had with Kamal Cheema, a Pakistani film producer who will help us lay the groundwork on the scene in Pakistan and orient us for the episodes to come. Enjoy. What's up, everyone? So we're here today with Kamal Cheema, the producer of the 2019 Pakistani action crime thriller Lal Kabutar, which is Pakistan's selection for the International Feature Film category at the Oscars. Kamal, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm very, very excited to have you. And yeah, talk shop. Yeah, I love the film. Gotta say it was awesome. I saw the screening this past weekend. And yeah, for those of you that have not seen it, please, please make it a point to watch it. It's you're going to love it. But Kamal, you're here with us today in Hollywood, right? Which is bit of a ways away from Lahore in Pakistan, right? But I would love to kick things off by hearing a little bit more about, you know, you and how you made your way into film.
Yeah, it's actually a 12-hour time difference, which makes for very easy days because nobody's messaging me, you know, while, and at night my phone just starts
right
buzzing.
This is all methodical on your end.
Exactly.
Right? Just trying to get away from certain people.
It's great. It's a great way of avoiding. So I got into film. I went to college here in the U.S. I was at Harvard on the East Coast, which seems like a world away from L.A. and California.
Right.
At least my memory of it. So anyhow, I went to college, and after graduating, my sister, who was there with me, we both moved back to Pakistan. Right. And decided to start a film company.
Fantastic.
And this is our first first project that we've done, our debut feature. Mm-hmm. And we're extremely excited and lucky to be Pakistan's selection for the Oscars in Feb. And let's see how far we go.
Yeah, exciting times, man. That's awesome. And I think it's safe to say you have my vote, and I'll be rooting for you. So that's Pakistan pride right there. No, man, but that's awesome. And so cool to see, like, you know, other artists, and to meet other artists, you know, from Pakistan as well. So some of the questions I have, let's start off with, you know, many Pakistanis living outside of Pakistan, you know, whether here or in the U.S., you know, our main source of Desi film content is Bollywood. Now, we're seeing those type of storylines spill over into Pakistan, you know, such as, you know, Pareha Love, right?
Correct.
So from someone living in the industry, you know, are you seeing a shift in what's being created?
You know, that's a great question. I think we stand, as independent filmmakers, we stand on the shoulders of commercial cinema. So that's one thing to also recognize, rather than being in opposition to the Bollywood storyline, recognizing that the Bollywood storyline is bringing people to the cinema.
Mm.
And therefore creating the space for that extra 5% margin on the top where you can experiment.
Right.
Just like, you know, in the United States, you know, your typical Hollywood storyline is allowing for all the experimentation that happens underneath that or next to that. So that's one thing to, I suppose, think of this as a symbiotic relationship rather than one that's in opposition. At least that's my view of it.
And so,
but the interesting thing with Pakistan is, you know, I guess we went through Zia's regime and kind of saw the death of cinema in the 80s and the 90s, and it's only now coming back to life.
Right.
What that means is we don't have any Khans, we don't have any Kapoors, it's not as ossified yet,
right.
And so there's space for people to enter the market.
Right.
And what that allows for is people like my sister and myself to enter and tell a new story, whereas I think it might be harder to do so in India even. So Pakistan seems like a space where, because we don't know what the identity of Pakistani cinema is yet, we're still allowing for experimentation.
Got it.
But as you said, yes, there's, you know, Bollywood and that style of storytelling is something that we all grew up with all over South Asia.
It's part of us.
So it's part of us. It's part of our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost a genre that can be used very creatively. I think Zoya Akhtar uses that genre.
Absolutely.
And she tells the story that she wants to tell. But she does so using the genre. So I don't think it's something that one has to feel like you're in opposition with.
Right.
But rather embrace and
you make it
play
your
with.
Own. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you're still appealing to the diehards, but still have a room for that, you know, your own creative pursuit, right?
Exactly.
And it's funny because you mentioned the Kapoors and the Khans, and I feel like we are synced from very far back. And it's like we have the same mind, because I was going to mention that Bollywood is dominated by the Kapoors and the Khans. You know, so your chances of producing or starring in or, you know, what have you become increasingly difficult, right?
Correct.
And you mentioned that, you know, there's a little bit more room for creative talents to break in into the Pakistani scene. So, you know, in your opinion, what does it take to be a filmmaker in Pakistan? And so help us understand, you know, a little more, give us a little more insight of that industry.
Sure. I think Pakistan is, again, a nascent industry. It's growing. It's crawling right now in terms of the life cycle of, you know, if we were to map it onto a human life, we're at the baby stage where we're just crawling out of the mother's womb.
Right.
So we can't really compare ourselves to these larger industries that have been around for a long time. There's advantages to that. The advantage is that you can enter there's a low barrier to entry, right? It's not going to cost as much. People aren't opposed to trying something new because there is no track record of 50 years of the formula working. No,
right.
It's like 6 years of something that worked and some things that didn't. So the barrier to entry is very low. However, there is a, you know, on the supply side, you're not being supplied with great stories.
Right.
Because it's in such a nascent stage, there's a generation of people who never put their mind towards creating content for the screen.
Right.
And so you know, from a filmmaker's perspective, there's no, you know, copious amounts of scripts lying around anywhere.
Right.
You have to create your own stories, which perhaps if, you know, I've spent a week in LA and you sort of get a sense everyone has three scripts in their backpack.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think there's advantages and disadvantages of being this sort of new.
Right. Yeah, and that kind of leads to, I think, people being so much more critical as well, because I feel like in from what I've seen, people have like brought, you know, movies have emerged from Bollywood and Pakistan in general, people are so critical, and they're just like, really? What are they trying to? And they're going to be so quick to being like, well, they're just trying to be like Bollywood, or, oh, they're trying too hard to be. And it's like, let them breathe, man.
Correct.
Like, you know, like, this is, I mean, and that's also advantageous, and I've never thought of it from that perspective, where it's like, it's open season, you know, and everyone can bring it, and you know, it's yours for the taking.
Correct. Yeah. It is, you know, my last name is Chima. If two Chimas, two Jets are getting into the film world,
right.
Then it really means it's open season
for
entering the space.
Right. Yeah, man. No, and then well said. So, you know, there have been other Pakistani films in the past that have, you know, trying to make their way to the Oscars as well, that have also, you know, been considered. What do you think makes Lalkuputer stand out, and what differentiates, you know, your work from those films? Is it something different about the time period that might have, you know, led you to this nomination, or what do you think?
I think each creative product stands on its own. It requires a lot of work and dedication to make it happen. I can only speak for Lalkuputer.
Right.
And for us, what was very important was to tell a real story. We wanted to give people a window into Karachi.
Yeah.
Rather than a window into a set, which is fake inherently.
Mm-hmm.
But a window into real life. And, you know, when we were taking the movie around the world, and you get people who are from Karachi, you get people who are Sindhi from either India or Pakistan, that just emote with seeing Karachi on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And not a set, or not like a airbrushed tourist hub of the city, but
right.
really the streets. Because, you know, we're trying to show this harsh city, but it's a very vibrant, alive, electric, but with that comes harshness and, you know,
right.
people competing for resources on this small little island of you know, urban Pakistan.
Right.
So I think Lalkuputer might be, I won't say, if, you know, how it fares with other efforts made, but it's
mm-hmm.
certainly the first urban window into Pakistan.
Right.
And I think that's something that's very exciting for us to be able to show to the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think for me, and not to sound like too ignorant, but like, you know, I think one of the things that, and the reason why I say not to sound ignorant, because it may show like my own, I guess, lack of knowledge of certain films that have depicted a certain perception or a certain like window into Pakistan or India. But like, you know, Gully Boy, I think that's something that I loved because
okay.
it was so
yeah.
down to earth, and I feel like, okay, I'm literally there right now in the streets of Bombay.
There you go.
I'm fighting, you know, with Murad, and I'm, you know, I'm with him,
yes.
know, in a struggle. So and that's, I think, also that gives an ode to, as you mentioned, you know, the older generation as well, because some people like that formula of like, oh, like, you know, guy and a girl, but at the same time it gives them like, yeah, that now you're speaking my language. That's
yeah.
who I am. So
no, and it's funny that you mentioned Gully Boy as
mm-hmm.
India's selection for the International Feature Film Award this year.
Mm-hmm,
so Pakistan
right.
selection, India selection, the stories are different, but the settings are very similar. They're
yeah.
urban, diverse metropolises. Two of the biggest cities in the world,
right.
Bombay or Mumbai and Karachi.
Mm-hmm.
And both countries have sent these stories as their representation to the Oscars. So
right.
I think it's, perhaps you mentioned, is there something with the timing? Clearly in India, a similar story seems to be finding oxygen, which perhaps in an older age of, you know, pre-Netflix, where you can't really experiment with the types of stories you can tell, perhaps post-streaming, post-digital content, it's allowed for us to tell the story where
yeah.
we can see, oh, this can, even if it doesn't work on the cinemas,
mm-hmm.
this can find an audience, whatever that audience member is.
Right.
And that allows for you to take a, you know, concept that's really gritty and
mm.
not your escapism that you're looking for when you're buying a, you know, 600 rupee ticket to go to the cinema and enjoy the, you know, fresh, clean, air-conditioned air.
Right.
So I think that might, the Times might have that going for them in that.
Absolutely. Yeah, good point. Well said. And, you know, Kamal, the Pakistani film industry is quite different than other markets, right? Namely, there are censorship boards that prevent, you know, certain words from being said. And at the screening, you had actually mentioned that you held here in L.A., that you mentioned a line item on your budget, right, for, you know, like under the table costs,
yeah.
right? AKA bribery. So help us understand what this process looks like and how you approached it, you know, creating a more new age film in a more restricted industry.
So the line item which we, you know, put down as under table costs was,
yeah.
I suppose, the cost of doing business in Pakistan, and that a much bigger cost would be to not have the watchful eye of the police helping you out on set, and instead having, you know, in Karachi especially, having somebody, you know, very expensive equipment that you've rented, and for somebody to come and risk that,
yeah,
it's a much bigger cost than just paying a little extra something to the local police station.
Right.
Who then become very compliant and kind of like become your, you know, your goons almost. They'll block off a street for you. So again, if you want to shoot on the street in the U.S., you can get a permit and you'll block out a street, and there'll be a full process to it. In Pakistan, because it's such a small and new industry, there's no processes as such in place to shoot on the street. And so what do? You get in touch with the local police station, tell them we're going to block off this street. Do we have your permission? We'll help you out. You help us out.
Right.
And they'll come and, you know, navigate the traffic for you as well, because you're, you know, our opening scene in the film is also, you know, we're blocking off a street to do that.
Right.
You need to, you know, have the police on your side.
Yeah.
So
that's takes a whole new meaning. Yeah. Since you,
But it's not an inhibitive thing. You know, a lot of people have a sense of that, ooh, bribery equals corruption, and because there's corruption in a society that you can't work. No, I think it's simply another line item, which as long as it's stable, if you're just looking at it from an economic lens, as long as the environment is stable and I can with stability say it's going to cost me this much to start a sock factory or a, you know, car dealership, whatever it is, as long as I have stability, I can factor that in as an investor or as somebody who's you know, bringing in a new venture. So it doesn't really harm the process as much.
It's just,
from
it's,
that
it's
perspective.
Under a different light, if you will. Exactly. It's the same cost. He actually had a friend, his name is Tahrim, and he would take his car and park it on campus every single day, but he didn't have a permit. Now, his logic was, if you buy the permit, right, you would spend $150 a quarter for that permit, but you can insure, you can park on campus wherever you want, but you're spending the $150. If I take my car without having purchased a permit and I park it in the handicap spot, the worst that's going to happen is I might get a ticket, which is what, $70? It's fine. Yeah. That's another way of going about it, right? I don't know why my mind just went there, but it's...
That's
it's,
bringing me to other stories that have nothing to do with the film, but, you know, skirting the law.
Right. Exactly.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah. Definitely not the place right here, but it's the same thing. I mean, in undergrad, if you're studying, you know, economics or whatnot, you're going to have all these, you know, costs and fees for those classes. But then if you're pursuing the arts, right, if you're pursuing acting, you're not going to spend that money in undergrad college. You're going to spend that in, you know, acting classes.
Correct.
You're going to spend it in, you know, getting your reel done and having the proper, so it's just a different way of, I guess, looking about it. But I got to say, I mean, the film, I think it does such a great job of, you know, highlighting characters, showing the grit, showing the dark side of, not to give away too much from the film, but to show, you know, the day-to-day that they go through, the dark stuff, and then at the same time showing their human side. And I think you can't help but be, you know, drawn into the movie. So I just wanted to give you credit for that. I wanted to show you my appreciation.
Awesome to hear.
Yeah.
And, you know, segueing off the last little point of discussion we had was cutting corners. And, you know, the main lead in our story, if there's one major, you know, dramatic quality of his, it's cutting corners to try and get through to what he wants to in life.
Yes.
And I think that's a very, it's a universal thing of, it stems from desperation at times, but it stems from trying to not work hard to get where you want to go, but rather finding that lazy route.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I guess people have to see the film on whether that, you know, it, part of our, in developing that character, part of our thought was, can we reward someone for having ill intentions?
Right.
Again, people will have to watch the movie, but this this played a part in developing this character.
Right.
The morality of, sure, you can do the, you know, $70 risk of parking in a handicap spot, but is that something that is going to pay off in the long run?
Right. And so, I guess people got to find out by watching the movie, right? Yeah. Well, hey, Kamel, thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with Desi Standard Time. We really appreciate you and support you, and can't wait for the Oscars. And best of luck, brother.
Thank you. And thanks for having me. It's fun to be out here in LA.
Yeah.
The weather's awesome. So I'm definitely going to be back, and I'll bother you again.
All right. Please come knock on my door anytime, man. Late.